Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Vestair Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Vestair products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Patty Wilson, a conversation all about energy.
So we're starting down a rabbit hole here.
I know.
So the next thing you need to know is that we as human beings are a very good barometer of energy. You're right. You can walk into a room where two people are, and even if they had a fight 20 minutes earlier, you can feel it because you can read it. Now, I just recently on my little podcast, we did a thing about the heart brain, and I'm going to tie this all together.
Yeah.
So I started out that particular podcast research basing on the idea of why is it that there are always so many stories about people who are organ donors, transplant recipients, who pick up memories, thoughts, and even mannerisms of the person who was the donor, okay? Even if they know nothing about the person. And there's myriads of these stories out there about people who find out 5 years later that, the person that was their donor suddenly had always craved chicken nuggets, and suddenly after they've had a heart transplant, boom, that's all they want to eat.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's actually a fascinating story that I read for the research that was about two little girls, an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old little girl. And I believe it was the 10-year-old little girl who died and the 8-year-old little girl who got her heart. And that's all the family knew, was that this was a 10-year-old little girl and that she had died. They thought car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the little girl came home, she began having a series of nightmares. And in the nightmares, she was in her bedroom, but it wasn't her bedroom. And she would see a man standing there, and the man scared her and she would wake up. Well, the family was very concerned because the little girl had never had any kind of issues like this before. And they began to wonder what was the true story behind the death of the 10-year-old little girl. Eventually, they came to find out that she had been abducted and killed. And her body was then subsequently found right away. He dumped it. And during that four-hour window, they were able to get the heart and what have you. Well, anyhow, they went to the police officers who were investigating this child's murder, and they told them this insane story. And the police officer was very open-minded, and he actually got a sketch artist to sit with the little girl and draw a picture of the man in her dream, which they took to the little dead girl's family, and they recognized the man.
Wow.
And he turned out to be the killer. Now, that is so far beyond coincidence, it's not funny.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
That got me going.
Yeah, I want to ask a question about that before you continue going, because I want to hear you out. With something like that, and maybe this will lead into where you're going too. Was that some sort of paranormal interaction? Was that a spirit? Was that a ghost? Was that somebody bringing that information to that little girl who had that heart? Or
I'm glad you asked that. Where we're going.
Or is it something where our body, our tissue, our muscles, our cells store memories in other areas beyond our brain that we have not scientifically identified?
Well, actually, we are scientifically identifying them.
Okay.
That was my next stop on the journey.
Great. Continue on.
Then I began to read about this thing called the Heart Math Institute, okay?
Yeah.
And it is an institute looking at the human heart. One of the fascinating factors about the Heart Math Institute is that they found something called the heart brain. There is a neural network of brain tissue around our heart. And this brain tissue they've tested it over years. The place, by the way, is in San Francisco, still exists, this research facility. And they have tested it and have come to understand that this heart brain is what they call it, talks to our head brain And although we've always assumed that the head brain runs everything, it may not be so. So let's take a couple of little steps further. Everything in our body functions through blood going through it, correct? If the blood stops going through it, it dies.
Yes.
The blood goes through the heart brain and picking up, that's producing electrons. That's why whenever your heart, you know, your heart dies, they can shock it and sometimes make it work again. There's an electrical impulse going through. Now, here's an interesting fact about the heart brain. It has memory. It remembers our heartbeat. So when you take a heart from a person who dies and you put it in the person's heart, the body of the person who's surviving, and it starts up, it completes an electrical connection. And it doesn't beat with the rate of heart rate from the person who's alive. It's not just a machine. It's not like plugging in a new carburetor. It will beat with the remembered heart rate of the person who's dead.
That's very interesting.
That is interesting. So our blood runs through there, picking up electromagnetic energy, which goes into the entirety of our body and every organ in our body, which I think is what carries this message, this memory message, mm-hmm. in the electrical and impulses that pulse through our blood as it pulses through our body. Now, let's go to the next step. They know that the heart brain and the head brain talk. So they did a study, and then incidentally, in Canada, there's another place that's doing research on this heart brain, and they do a similar double-blind study. So it ends up working out that they're both doing the same type of study at the same time, but they don't know that each other's doing it.
Yeah.
And the study is they're going to take people, they're going to wire them for electrical response to see if the brain or the heart brain, the brain or the heart brain, react first to a stimuli.
Yeah.
So they put them in front of a video computer, and they tell them at, like, I think it's like 14 second intervals, we're going to flash a picture. Now, when you flash a picture, our brain sees the picture and immediately shoots an impulse to the appropriate area. So if it's the if it's something horrible like a car accident, the amygdala is kicked into play because that's the primitive part of fight and flight.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's not, if it's something beautiful or something else, it'll go to another part of the brain and these endorphins are released that, you know, it's okay. It's safe. It's all right. Peace, light, and harmony, baby. And it's all cool. So that's what they expected and anticipated. And they thought that the brain would shoot a message to the heart brain, which would then either increase the pulse of the heart tapping in the chest or calm it and decrease the heart rate. However, this is what the study elicited. And there's two things about the study that are phenomenal. The first thing is that the heart brain reacted before the brain and shot a message to the brain instead. And this is the key to the whole thing. It did it before the picture appeared. So it had an extra perception and could perceive what was about to occur before it actually came up on the screen, prepped the brain by sending the impulse to the appropriate arena so that that part of the brain in the brain
yeah.
could then be ready to go. So the heart brain is intuitive.
That's interesting.
That's phenomenally interesting.
I always try to make analogies to what we normally do use and things like that to try and help understand and to for not only myself to process what it is we're talking about and kind of put it into an applicable sense, but then of course for our audience too, because some of these ideas are just so, oh my goodness, you know, it blows your mind. But something that kept running through my mind as you were sharing that story and that study, it's almost like the heart brain, if we're comparing ourselves to a computer, it's almost like that heart brain is our internet browser or our life browser. It's getting the data before it even hits the screen. It may not end up having all of the data in that browser that whole computer runs, but there's a history and there's a cache, just as a computer would have in store for a certain amount of time for that browser. But the rest of the computer is really doing all the storing that, but initially was processed and came through that browser, if you will. I mean, does that seem to make sense? Does that analogy make sense almost?
It does. And that may be that it leaves a small cache of memory in every organ. So when they transplant an organ and it completes that circuit, it actually kicks on involuntarily that cache and opens it up over the course of time. And sometimes instantaneously, some of the stories are phenomenal. And then you add to it the fact that it's intuitive and it leaves the head brain, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then you realize, oh my God, this is why people are intuitive and can read the energy. Our heart brain reads the electromagnetic fields around us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're really good at it, they call us an empath.
Sure. Sure. It really would explain for someone who has had a transplant of some sort, and they're not picking up on it through being an empath, but they are suddenly, you know, there's this download of information that seems to be flowing through our memories. If you're the one who has the new heart or the new whatever that was donated to you from someone else, there's these little bits and pieces of something that you sometimes get the memories of. And as you were saying earlier, there are countless documented cases of this sort of thing happening. And then it turns out, well, the donor actually, that's something that would have been in their memory because it happened to them. I think I remember seeing many episodes of Unsolved Mysteries on this very phenomena. And it is a lot like a web browser in the cache, because sometimes, let's say you have no internet and you're out of service, but you're pulling up a website, it'll go to that cache. And it may only be certain elements of that page that are being pulled up through that cache, but it's enough to kind of get the idea of what the website is. But there's little elements that are not there. Do Wayback Machine and go back to an old website. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Some elements will not be there that should be there. But when you're the recipient and you have this other heart or whatever it may be, that's kind of what it's like. I would assume if you're pulling some of these things up, you don't know why this wasn't yours, but it's there. And then that opens up the whole world and the idea of, okay, if these memories are literally transferable, because that's what's going on in that sort of a process, are there other ways then for us to transfer our memories out of ourselves or receive other memories on demand in some sort of a way that's not necessarily paranormal or empathic, but literally very controllable, but through some sort of technology?
And it's a possibility. But I think that I find this entire subject fascinating. So now let's go the next step. Suppose that people have asked about where your soul lives in your body. And I have heard the throat, the brain, the spine, the chakra, whatever you want to call it, different places, your belly. I've heard a lot of places. What if that electromagnetic field of energy that we produce, so I believe in God. So God gives a spark of, I think the reason the Bible says that every person is created in the image of God isn't because he is a man, but because the electromagnetic energy, the spark of who he, a piece of him, is in every one of us. So that makes us, and he's energy. So that electromagnetic field is actually the radiation of the soul radiating out of the body, and it's not inside the body, it's around the body. And there is some research to prove that it might actually be so. I'm still digging into that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's all energy, if every animal, every tree, every cat, every nickel produces energy, and our heart brain reads energy,
mm-hmm.
and our soul is energy, then the entire universe is nothing but energy. So then let's go back to the energy. The earth functions because of energy. It produces, I think it's 7.83 hertz of energy, mm-hmm. is the frequency of the human earth, mm-hmm. our earth that we know. It's also the frequency of a human being. And we know that when the frequency of a human being gets out of whack, they get sick. We also know that if you go out into the woods, and this is something the science is now proving, and you stand in the woods and you're there, you know how you always feel better? People say, I go to the woods because that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
I just feel better with nature. It's actually because your body's absorbing and recalibrating its energy to the earth energy
really?
Level.
I can honestly tell you right now, in my own firsthand experience, we finally left living in the city and neighborhoods and all that. And listen, literally in the last month, the last interview that you and me did was at my last house. And now we are here and we are out in the country. We've been here for about a little over a month. And it's trees. It's there's cows in a pasture next to us. It's us getting some more animals. It's acres of yard to mow or just let grow. But I can honestly say we have been in obviously one of the most trying months in our history or so. But personally, when I'm talking about just feeling good, just about myself and just kind of with, I don't know, nature. I'm not talking about anything political or anything like that. So anybody to read into anything like that. But I've never felt just kind of more at peace than I have in the last month, even with all the crazy shit going on. I think it's 100% to do with my setting and where I'm feeling at peace without the commotion, without the energy around me or the negative energy around me and other people around me. It's stunning how different that is.
You go to psychologist Johann Hari, who is groundbreaking in his work on depression, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a tristy on it, an entire book on the concept of how do we treat depression. We in the Western culture treat it with meds,
mm-hmm.
chemical meds, which don't work very well, by the way. And I say that working in the field of psychology.
Sure.
They're hit or miss at best.
Yep.
But they are learning. And one of the domains that he talks about is going back to the earth, that you can cure depression by returning to the earth where you're touching, feeling, living in the woods, in an area where it's rural, an area where it's less stressful, because you're actually, he doesn't add this part, but I'm adding this part, because you actually recalibrate to the set point of all beings on earth, where we're meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go to where we live now. We have cell phones, like I'm talking to you on a cell phone now, but I don't keep it on me all the time because
sure.
I think it screws with our energy.
Mm-hmm.
Electricity. I lived in a house, twice in my life, I've lived without electricity for well over a year and was exceedingly peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfectly easy to do and exceedingly peaceful. After I got over the week of culture shock,
sure.
And all of a sudden I found I had less heart problems. I have a heart problem.
Mm-hmm.
I had many, many less heart problems. My stress levels went down. My kids behaved better.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was amazingly different because that stimuli, that constant pounding from all the electrical sources that we have, and it's getting worse, not better, had eased for us. We were living out in the woods in a house that did not have, I did not turn the electricity on purpose because we wanted to off-grid it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know at that time, but what we were doing was resetting our biological energy clock.
Okay. That's very interesting. It's we've been going through trying to figure out how, you know, we haven't gone that far as the no electricity, because I think it'd be impossible to really do what we do, but being the podcasts, but we've been,
I actually figured that out. We got a generator. We just ran the computer for the generator when I needed it.
We just had one. Oh, well, that makes sense. We just actually had one installed last week. But we are trying to do the let's be as independent as possible thing. And my wife, myself, and Jen co-hosts the other show with me. We both have anxiety and depression, and we're both Aspies. And it's this fun little, we call our farm Aspie Acres as a joke to ourselves, because it's how we are. And we just work very, very well with each other, with our own little nuances that go along with all of that. But we've both just felt so at peace, anxiety, depression levels going dramatically down, and just with how our personalities are, being Aspies, we just kind of just feels like, oh my God, this is amazing what your surrounding of the energy of the land and all that can do to you, and can do for you, when you have it. And it's, we haven't really changed anything other than the surrounding. We're still doing our works. We're still doing everything we would do, you know, for the crazy time that we're in. But that surrounding, that setting and the energy of it, I've never seen or felt something so dramatically different.
Exactly. And we don't realize that we're beings of energy. We are not physical beings by nature. We're spiritual beings who come into a physical body mm-hmm. for a length of time and then go back to being spirit. If spirit is energy, then we are energy beings.
Yeah.
And what we are doing to ourselves in our blindness is we're damaging ourselves significantly with all of the different abuses of energy and the lack of it that we give ourselves. So if you live in a city somewhere, you've got all kinds of negative energy and electrical energy and all kinds of other radiation energy, and don't even get me into all that, going on all the time, and you are absorbing it. And there is some seriously good research that perhaps the reason that the ADHD rates, the cancer rates, and a lot of other illness rates are increasing is that they're increasing at the same level as our exposure to radiation and to electrical energy leakages. When I was a girl living in rural Pennsylvania, the farmers, they used to put these great big pylons on up in the fields, you know, in the woods for the electrical companies. They looked like cyborgs or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the farmers would say, oh, I don't want them in my fields because my cattle will get sick and they'll dry up.
Mm-hmm.
They won't produce milk. And the electrical company would roll their eyes and go, stupid little hillbilly farmer doesn't know shit.
Yep.
However.
Yep.
Fast forward to around 1990 to 2000,
mm-hmm.
in that time frame, they finally admitted that they knew all along that cattle dry up when they're around these electrical fields, that they get mastitis and leukemia and cancers when they're around these fields, and that anything human, anything living is in jeopardy of being injured or dying from those fields. When you're constantly absorbing them,
yeah.
It never stopped. And they would put them at the edge of a farmer's field, and then the cattle would just be grazing,
mm-hmm.
and then they would turn up with mastitis or tumors on their udders or, you know, all kinds of other problems. And the electrical company did not want to admit that they had any part to play in this. But it's true.
Wow.
Just like music has frequencies and energies, and certain musical frequencies and energies are conducive to our bodies and are not. For example, mm-hmm. again, go back to farmers.
Yeah.
Farmers will play some country music, and they'll play classical music, and they'll play gospel music, but they usually don't play rock music because it'll cause the cattle to produce less milk.
That's very interesting. I did not know that. I want to ask you another.
I've been up in farms my whole life.
Yeah, that's very. We are right now in farm knowledge mode because we are. We have a barn going up here in about a month or two, and we're going to actually get some minis, Herefords, and possibly some others. And so we're trying to like learn and about everything we can with all of that right now. But I want to back up for a moment, though, about energy. And this maybe we'll wrap up on this. And it kind of goes back to the beginning of that rabbit hole that we just went down. Energy, when we go back to that room where there was the fight or where there was a moment of joy, whatever the energy may be, but it's still there in that room. Can that energy take on a life of its own, or is it more like I just left a pizza sitting in the middle of the room? Anyone can come and take some, or can sit there for 7 days and slowly rot, but eventually something will take that pizza and get some sort of enjoyment out of it, whether it be a possum that broke in or, you know, your kid as they walk into the room 5 minutes later.
So it's usually a pizza.
Okay.
And it might be that that it passes on harmlessly,
yeah.
and nothing happened. Or it could be that an entity that's already there is going to feast on it. That's why when we do a haunted site, we will tell people to try to stay calm because negative energy seems to feed them.
Sure.
But if you have enough people believing in something and throwing their energy into it, then you come into something called tulpas, or it's your thought forms. And that is an actual physical entity created through energy and the focus of all these different energies, or this person's, single person's energy, on a specific concept. Like, I want to, you know, if you focus on even just one person, but they focus on it enough, they can actually create that thought form and make it manifest in a physical form.
Would Slender Man be a good example of that?
Yes, I do believe so. And there are multiple, and there's some amazing stories about this over the course of time. And the best analogy from human history is the concept of the tulpa.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Patty Wilson about energy and its many forms involving the paranormal. What a great interview. Thank you so much, Patty, for that. All right. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for being a supporter.